On April 4th, 2003, probably the most important hearing held yet on Project BioShield, the bill that Bush and Cheney were touting continuously, takes place. It's a public hearing between a bunch of congressmen, government officials like Anthony Fauci, like Michael Brown, the Undersecretary of Homeland Security. Remember him? You're doing a heck of a job. But about half of the people who testify at this hearing are people from the pharmaceutical industry. So when I just said there was a shockingly low amount of skepticism regarding the Bush policies at this time, well, occasionally you got some pushback and just some very matter-of-fact, you know, logical pushback against the weird and completely fictional consensus building. And you even have it here, actually, from one of the representatives in this hearing. And I could be mistaken. I actually don't know who this is speaking. I believe it's Tom Davis, U.S. representative from Virginia. And what he has to say about Project BioShield is extremely interesting because it goes back to what I've been saying about the smallpox vaccination rollout and how it was used as a propaganda tool. They didn't really have the infrastructure necessary for it, but yet they bought $500 million in vaccines. Why didn't they spend millions and millions of dollars on training and building the infrastructure for this if they're going to buy $500 million vaccines? Well, it seems like just buying those vaccines maybe was even just a stunt to make it seem more realistic. Blow $500 million, give $500 million to a canvas. Maybe someone in the Bush administration benefited from that somehow. Who knows? But this guy raises some really interesting questions. Why is Project BioShield so focused on one specific goal, the idea of giving emergency youth authorization powers to the Secretary of Health if they want to just grant emergency youth authorization for a drug that doesn't go through the FDA's approval process? That's one of the main goals of Project BioShield, to take away the liability from some of these pharmaceutical companies and to give them emergency youth authorization for basically experimental products by using bioterror fear as sort of a underlying framework to make it seem like necessary that we need to give these pharmaceutical companies this much power where they're not liable. But what this representative brings up is super, super logical and really just kind of shatters the whole frame in a way, because he's kind of just like, you know, we can't think of this, you know, we can't think of biodefense in the same way we just give money to defense contractors and they give us bullets. But then hear the rest of what he has to say.
I come to this discussion with significant skepticism, not about the urgency of the problem of countering biological threats, but about the adequacy and efficacy of the proposed solution. Buying biologics is not like buying bullets. The Cold War model of short-term research incentives and artificial markets as sustained defense contractors may not fit the intensely entrepreneur of pharmaceutical and biomedical industries. The Department of Defense, DOD, Joint Vaccine Acquisition Program, and the Anthrax Vaccine Immunization Program should serve as cautionary tales. The latter rushed to procure last-century technology to the detriment of research and development of a modern anthrax vaccine. The former spent 6 years and more than $300 million, but has yet to finish a single vaccine. As the current outbreak of severe acute respiratory syndrome, SARS, attests, we remain hard-pressed to maintain our defenses against nature's evolving arsenal of biological threats. Hasty acquisition of medical countermeasures available within 5 years, as proposed in BioShield, applies only a short-term bandage to a long-term illness. Massive caches of stockpiled vaccines, antibiotics, and drugs will protect no one if they cannot be administered quickly and safely. The missing element of the protective shield envisioned in this proposal is public health capacity. Surveillance systems, diagnostic tools, and trained medical personnel are prerequisites to any effective defense against natural and man-made biological outbreaks. I look forward, Mr. Chairman, to discussing the BioShield proposal.
Missing tool? Well, that's the understatement of the fucking century. The missing tool is the medical infrastructure. Well, it should be the main thing behind BioShield if it really was a public health program. You would think the U.S. government would even open up a special clinic, like just for this kind of stuff. like for emergency use only, that they would just keep it empty until something like this happens. No, they didn't really have anything focused on that in the bill. This is actually one of probably the strongest pushbacks I've heard, you know, one of these live hearings over this bill, but it's just such an obvious thing. And it really does just go to show how this was just some kind of way to inject cash into a sector of the pharmaceutical industry that would basically do the U.S. government's dirty work and give them emergency use authorization, stripping the liability from them. Pretty much what this entire bill was focused on. And just to prove what I'm saying even further, listen to Anthony Fauci explain it in his own words, followed by Michael Brown reinforcing Fauci's point.
I appreciate the opportunity to discuss Project BioShield with you today. And as you know from the legislative language, the purpose of the Project BioShield is to accelerate the research, development, purchase, and availability of effective medical countermeasures against chemical, biological, radiological, and nuclear terrorism and public health emergencies. Project BioShield, as you, Mr. Chairman, summarized so well, is a three-pronged program. It increases the authorities and flexibilities of the NIH to expedite research, it establishes a secure funding source to purchase countermeasures, and it establishes an FDA emergency use authorization.
And what is the rationale for severely limiting oversight of these extraordinary powers?
The rationale for the emergency use authorization is to provide the most effective, most potentially effective treatments to Americans in emergency situations. This is a limited authority program that only applies when the Secretary and others have determined that there is a national emergency because of a bioterrorism threat or another type of public health emergency. And it only involves agents where there are not effective approved treatments already available, but where there may be treatments in the pipeline where the potential benefits outweigh the potential risks. We have a few now that are marching as quickly as possible towards approval and towards a full demonstration of safety and effectiveness, and that remains our goal.
Now, I said most of the people testifying